Imagine once a month you turn into a completely different person. Suddenly you are an angry, weepy, out of control mess, and then a couple of days later, that suddenly lifts and feels almost impossible to explain. You forget the depths of that low and feel almost completely normal until the cycle starts again. This is how Emma Hardy describes what it's like to live with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD, and it's the reality for millions of women and girls around the world. This is more than just PMS. PMDD is a major depressive disorder that affects somewhere between 2 and 8% of people who menstruate. In the days or sometimes weeks leading up to their period, people with PMDD experience extreme symptoms of irritability, anger, anxiety, and depression. It can even lead to thoughts of suicide. Well, you're about to hear from Emma Hardy, who's written a memoir of menstruation madness and monsters to better understand her own illness. But if you've experienced this too, I'd really love to hear from you. How does PMDD affect your day-to-day life? Have you found ways to manage it? Here with me is Emma Hardy, Australian writer based in Melbourne. Her memoir is called Periodic Bitch, and it explores the reality of living with PMDD. Emma, it's a hell of a title.
Yeah, it is. Straight in your face, because I guess that's what this feels like.
Is that how you thought of yourself?
I think I felt quite monstrous and out of control. I think there's quite a bit of irony in having the word bitch in the title, because I feel like that's more what other people might want to think of me. And it's kind of nice to reclaim that in those moments when you feel not quite yourself.
So tell me about your kind of early experience of this before you had a name for it.
Yeah, I definitely knew that something was wrong. I probably thought it was another kind of mood disorder. I had been on different kinds of birth control from the age of 15, which is when I got my first period. So I couldn't really track it neatly along with any kind of hormonal cycle. So there would just be bouts where I would be extremely moody. I thought I lacked a lot of resilience. I thought there was something deeply wrong with me, but it was really hard to identify that that was actually related to a hormonal cycle.
Was there a moment where you thought this is outside of the realm of normal?
I mean, yeah, there was like one time where I was, I guess now in reflection, I was very luteal, which is the name for that phase before the menstrual cycle, where I just felt so much anger in my body. And I was going for a walk and I like punched this brick wall. And then I felt extremely silly after that. I was kind of like, why did I do that? That obviously just hurt me. But I was kind of realizing this was not rational or normal behavior. I ended up going to a GP about it, and he actually diagnosed me with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, but on very little information. So I hadn't tracked a cycle. It kind of looked like he just flicked through his lists of things that he could diagnose me with. And because this was a state that I kept on coming back to, he went, it's probably PMDD. And I spent a long time unsure whether to believe him or not, just based on the flippancy of that diagnosis.
Interesting. Like, I know when I speak to people, often when they get a diagnosis, it's a real moment of coming home, like a feeling like, oh, finally, I understand what's wrong with me. It doesn't sound like that was your experience there.
You know, I mean, like, it definitely resonated. Like, it definitely was like, this could be real, but it just seemed so absurd that I was being told that I was wrong for my hormones and that my emotions were not to be trusted. And it felt like quite a misogynistic diagnosis. So it left me with both this feeling of it resonated, but also mistrust, which was quite a complicated position to be in when trying to seek the best treatment for myself.
So COVID was a real catalyst for change for you. Talk me through what happened.
So I entered COVID in Melbourne with a new relationship, and it was just kind of this pressure cooker. And we pretty much immediately started living together, even before we were told that intimate partners were allowed, etc. So we were in this real close proximity, and then I went through an episode of PMDD where I became quite controlling, quite weepy. Everything was heightened beyond a 10, really, to like an 11. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to, in a sense, I had to kind of explain and rationalize to this person what was happening. And it really threw into sharp relief this idea that I really hadn't done enough to explore, was this actually what was going on with me? I hadn't done enough to seek treatment. And I felt a lot of shame for my inaction. And it really drove me to try and understand this illness a lot better and seek out information that, honestly, in the 5 years since diagnosis had become a little bit more available but was still pretty scarce.
It's Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm chatting with Emma Hardy. She's written a memoir called Periodic Bitch about living with premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Maybe you've never heard of it. Maybe you're living it. I'd love to know if you have experience with PMDD, how it's shaped your life and how you manage it. Emma, I do want to get to what worked for you, but I also have here with us Dr. Jayashree Kulkarni, who's a professor of psychiatry at Monash University and has some expertise here as well. Jayashree, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Can you explain what's happening in the body when Emma's experiencing symptoms like this?
So this is a really significant, serious condition where there are hormonal shifts in the brain, which happen for every person who's menstruating and reproductive cycle. And these hormones are gonadal hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and their precursors. So what happens is some women are more sensitive to the fluctuations because these hormones in the brain are potent brain steroids, and they control the brain chemistry and also the brain circuits. And the brain chemistry and the circuits in your brain determine behavior, emotions, and higher cognitive or, you know, executive thinking. So it's really important that we all understand that these gonadal hormones, which used to be relegated to, no, they just work on ovaries and uterus and they're all about having babies. Yes, they do that as a role, but they also have a big role in the brain. And we, again, need to understand that not all women, but some are very sensitive to the shifts in their brain, which then the gonadal hormones set off the chemical changes, which results in depression, which is a different quality of depression, by the way. And Emma beautifully describes some of the rage and some of the other things that happen that are not standard depression.
So Jayashree, we heard Emma went to see a GP, described some symptoms, and he kind of slapped an acronym on it. Is this the gold standard for diagnosis?
No, in fact, it's good that Emma got a GP who, as much as she's conflicted about the term PMDD, but at least it's good that the GP did recognise the hormonal influence because that leads to a different treatment pathway and different understanding. Whereas a lot of the time, doctors and other clinicians, particularly mental health clinicians, are more likely to diagnose bipolar disorder. And that's a problem because then that leads to a whole bunch of other drugs with a whole lot of side effects that don't actually, they're not easy to manage the side effects. And also the bipolar drugs don't target the outcome that you want. So in a lot of ways, Emma's GP is to be commended. I think that the society in general, though, haven't got their head around the severity of this condition, and even its name is a stupid name. It's dysphoric disorder. Well, dysphoria is kind of a mild sadness when your football team doesn't win, whereas this is a crushing major depressive disorder that occurs, once every 4 weeks, or even if very few women have a regular cycle. So it can happen at different stages of time, like every 6 to 8 weeks and so on. But it is nonetheless very serious.
There's some really serious stories coming through on the text line. Alice says, I experienced deep depression and suicidal thoughts every cycle. I also knew the day my period was due because I would have urges to punch people, not because I was angry, just as a muscle urge. Mm. Perimenopause escalated the symptoms so much I was hospitalised, well into menopause now, and finding some peace. Jayashree, do you think people understand just how all-consuming this can be?
No, I don't think people do understand, and there's still a lot of traditional medical advice that flies in the face of what women are saying who experience it. So we've got to listen more to the lived experience here. And that particular listener described exactly what I see in my clinic and in the hospital for women at Cabrini Health, that we often see PMDD morph into perimenopausal depression. And so when the cycle goes out of sync, that the hormones in the brain trigger this incredible depressive and rage response, and all sorts of body changes as well. So it is important that this is not dismissed as women behaving badly, which I'm sure Emma and others have experienced that kind of invalidation, which is really significant. And so it stops getting getting the correct treatment, which is often a hormonal strategy, and also understanding that this is not just bad behaviour. This is actually a major condition that needs considerable treatment, support and help.
Emma, in your book, you sort of describe the condition as a monster. How has that framing helped you live with it?
Well, I think at the time of going through like the worst of it during lockdown, like it just was exacerbated in many ways. The thinking of it through a monster was actually quite unhelpful to me, but it was an area of fascination. So I felt, as a lot of people with PMDD have also described, that there was like myself when I was outside of the luteal phase, when I was healthy and well and felt so-called normal, and then myself during this state of hormonal flux or change where I felt out of control, I really feared what I might do, and I felt monstrous. And so I started to kind of almost have this anxious thinking of like, what will this monstrous version of myself do to me while I'm in that state? And so I started using monsters as a way to think about different ways of viewing myself, my anger, my desires and emotions. And ultimately, I traced that journey throughout the book to come to think of anger and monstrous women not as this thing to be terrified of, but as a way that our culture might redefine how we think about women's power. So a woman who has power might become a monster, but if we find healthy and productive ways to use that anger instead of harming ourselves and others, we can perhaps find the power of the monstrous without actually being monstrous. That's a very shorthand way of talking about this flow throughout the book.
You're listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Emma Hardy, who's the author of a new memoir, Periodic Bitch, about living with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD, and Dr. Jayashree Kulkarni, who's a professor of psychiatry at Monash University, founder and director of Monash Alfred Psychiatry Research Centre. And you're telling me your stories of PMDD today on the text line. Nell says, I had severe PMT, in brackets, PMDD wasn't recognised then, and an unsympathetic male partner who used it as evidence of my female mental inferiority. Another person says, oh my God, that's what I had. It explains so much. Had never even heard the term before, and I'm a relatively well-informed person. Out the other side of menopause now, serenity and peace. Which, Jayashree, is pretty sad to hear that someone's gone through without having that support. What are the treatments?
So, unfortunately, there are many, many women who don't get the treatment and support, and they also suffer with invalidation from partners, but also from workplaces and also the healthcare professionals. So it's a pretty invalidating situation for a number of women. The treatments that we're working with, particularly at Her Centre Australia, which is a Monash University centre, is to use hormonal strategies to actually flatten or get rid of the cycle for a while and then let the brain reset the thermostat, if you like, for the brain chemistry to have a bit less sensitivity to the hormonal flux. So hormonal strategies include particular contraceptive pills or hormone contraceptives, And not every contraceptive, because there's some really nasty ones out there that in the sensitive woman can cause depression and anxiety anyway. So we've got to be careful. So we've been working on research for those particular, or that particular contraceptive that we use. We also use other strategies that are hormonal, like an estrogen patch or a natural progesterone and so on. The idea is you allow the woman to have control over her reproductive hormones, which in turn helps the control of the brain chemistry that is then not going to create the major depressive disorder. I think it's actually empowering for women to know that they can be in charge of their hormones. This is what's different to, you know, in days and days gone by where it was, oh, she's at the whim and mercy of her hormones, she's hormonal, it's that time of the month, all that sort of rubbish. Whereas what we can now say to women is, hey, you can be in charge of your hormonal world. And this is important both in perimenopause as well as in the younger group. And we do control hormones for reproduction. We have that technology. You know, women can say when and if they want to get pregnant. So I think it's extending that capacity of women to have this under their control if they wish to do so. If they want to go natural and not be involved in this and have psychotherapy, that is also her choice. So it's really about saying to every person who is experiencing mental health related to a hormonal flux, how would you like to be able to move forward? Because this is in your hands.
Jayashree, Emma, thank you both so much for joining me today. Dr. Jayashree Kulkarni is Professor of Psychiatry at Monash University, founder and director of Monash Alfred Psychiatry Research Centre. Emma Hardy, a writer. Her memoir, Periodic Bitch, explores her experience with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, also known as PMDD.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.